Let's do it for real.
Take a ride? To talk with Art Bell, call the Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
And a pot of gold it is, too. It may be fool's gold, I don't know. But Greg Bishop and Richard Doty are here saying some absolutely incredible things. Nothing short of incredible. That a very great deal of what you hear in ufology could be fed to the ufologists directly from the U.S. government. That's what Richard Doty did. And that's what may be going on right now. Rick, all the way down in Florida, would like me to ask the why question. He says the why question is, why is the government still holding back all this alien UFO info? Either one of you want to try to answer that?
Well, I'm going to say that I think that they know what's going on, and they probably don't quite know what to do with it. What do you think, Rick?
Yeah, a lot of the information is to protect the technology. There's some things that we got from them, from the our visitors that we're trying to perfect, and that has to be safeguarded. And I agree with that. But I don't agree that just the mere fact that we were visited should be held up. So that Rick in Florida, I agree that some of that should be released.
But in that area, Richard, how do you get a little pregnant? I mean,
I know. Well, if the government would have done what they should have done back in the 50s, by the slow release of the information and conditioning the public, we wouldn't have that problem today. But they didn't do that.
Why not?
I don't know. I wasn't around back then, and I just know that the governing body of this information decided that. They kept putting it off, and at some point, they kept lying, kept saying, they didn't have it, we don't have it. Yes, we do. No, we don't have it.
There's people in power, and they like to stay in power, and part of that power is knowing something nobody else knows.
Exactly. That's a good point there.
But you were the one promoting exactly that policy of we have it, we don't have it, it's true, it's trash, it's baloney. Or then it's real. I mean, kind of.
Yeah, you're right.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. I was doing that. Absolutely. That was our job. I mean, there were, like I said, hundreds of agents that spanned out across the United States, and that's what our job was.
But it wasn't to disinform people on UFOs because of the aliens. In your case, apparently it was because you were protecting things that were going on, projects at Kirtland at the time.
Exactly. Our job had nothing to do. We never were told, hey, now we don't want the public to know about UFOs or about aliens. That never surfaced.
Well, you did say you were shown a film, though, of what actually happened at Roswell, and had to sign a form that, you know, sign your life away.
Well, it just wasn't Roswell. It was our history, United States history, of involvement with the ET base. And let me tell you something. There was one view, one of your guests one time, some years ago, I don't know exactly how long ago I was listening to it, that got it right. If you look at government, which are still classified, most of the government documents, they don't refer to this as UFOs or some of the other things that you're reading today. The official government terminology was ETV, extraterrestrial visitation. Linda Howell got it right, and there was one other guest on your show a couple years ago that got it right.
That's so people go in and look for documents under ETV, they might get something, or they will still be classified?
You might want to. I'm sure there's going to be a million people listening to the show. If you go out there and try to get something in ETV, it was referred to as extraterrestrial visitation. It wasn't referred to UFOs. We knew what they were. We knew who they were. And the government wouldn't put UFOs down unless they were describing something that was, in fact, a unidentified flying object.
I still don't understand how they could have shown you Roswell and the true history of ufology and what the government knew and had you sign all this, and even today that you could be sitting here telling us.
Well, I tried to explain that to you.
Well, you did.
The government is saying now that doesn't exist, that is baloney. Even though I signed something, so what are they going to come back and try to prosecute me for telling something that they're saying is baloney?
Yeah, make them deny it. It's the whole trick.
Exactly. So they're not going to do that.
Well, maybe they wouldn't do that. Perhaps they would reach out and touch you in some other fashion. Has that occurred to you?
They could. Yeah, you're right. They could very well do that. But I'm not scared of that anymore. I used to be.
How's your heart?
My heart's fine. I'm a
jogger. But so many other people have come out and done the same thing before even Richard did.
Oh, I mean, there's a number of other people who did this. I mean, that said 10 times more than me.
All right,
that know 10 times more than
but
me.
But since you know so much, Richard, at least tell us what we really should know about this alien presence. Is it multiple species that are here? What are the important things for the American people to know about the truth behind all this?
Okay, I can tell you what I know, what I officially know. I mean, I'm not going to go
into... That's fine by me.
Okay, I'm not going to go into trying to give you theory. We were visited, an alien craft crashed in 1947 near Roswell. We recovered one alien. We obtained a great wealth of information from that alien who was with us until 1951. In 1964, there was a landing at Halliman. Actually, it wasn't at Halliman. It was at White Sands. The disinformation was that it was going to be at Halliman, but it actually happened at White Sands. We returned the alien bodies to these extraterrestrial visitors. Then we met with them, and then we had another visitation some years later. We formed some kind of a pact, and I don't know the exact
details of that
because I wasn't in the know. But we had a pact with them that they could come back and they could visit Earth and they could experiment, and we would let them do that. And the reason that I was told that we did this was we couldn't stop them in the first place. I mean, if they come all this distance. In a short period of time, they had technology that we couldn't understand. We were afraid of them, basically.
But still, you're telling me that our government made a deal with aliens to come down and occasionally grab specimens and slice and dice as they will.
No, I didn't say that.
Well,
no,
but,
no,
but really,
no,
you
I don't
did,
know
though.
Anything about them providing any type of our government providing. Permission or giving permission to any visitors, extraterrestrial visitors, to do that. No, nothing like that.
But that's what goes on, though. I mean, people are abducted. People are inevitably, in some way, sexually accosted, or probed, or shot, or given a shot, or given what God knows what. I mean, those things are what are reported, Richard.
Right, reported. Now, I tell you one thing. In my 8 years or something in OSI, in that particular program,
yes,
with clearances, I never read one bit of information about abductions, not one, in an official government document. Now, I heard a lot from other people. I'm not a believer. I mean, I'm not a strong believer that the aliens are abducting us.
But you did say, though, that our government came to an agreement with them that included...
Yeah, that they could come and look at Earth and fly around Earth, I guess. I don't know what he said was
experiments, and that's what...
Yes, you did say experiments.
Experiments, yeah.
And that's what set me off.
I don't mean with human beings, because I never read the document. All I read was that the United States government had an agreement with the extraterrestrial visitors that they could, we would allow them to visit Earth, and research or whatever. I can't remember the exact wording. That's it. That's
all
I read. I don't know anything else about it.
Sorry. Was that one of the things you told to Paul Benowitz? Because he was under the impression, after talking to you and other people in OSI, that we had exchanged abduction rights for technology.
No, not abductions. No, I never had anything to do with abductions, except for two cases, and one of the cases was an absolute hoax. The other one was inconclusive, but I never had anything to do with that. I was never briefed in any. Maybe it did happen, and maybe we did know about it, but I wasn't briefed into it. I had no knowledge of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, we've been, craft has crashed, we had possession of an alien being. Do you know anything at all about what we learned, or what came of it? In other words, it's kind of back to the question of what should the American public know that we know?
They call them Ebens. The Eben we had in captivity, and I say captivity because that's actually what the way it was phrased in the documents, captivity, he wasn't allowed to leave. He provided us with a book, and it was referred to as a yellow book. And in this book, which wasn't actually a book, it was kind of a transparent piece of slab that when you looked at it and studied it, English wording, but it's ironic because if you knew Russian, if you were looking at it, then Russian words would come out. I don't understand it, but in there, it gave the full history of what they knew about the universe and about our solar system and about other life, intelligence life around the universe. And they provided us with information about other aliens who had visited Earth or in the past.
Okay, that's a gigantic general piece of information you just gave me. Do you know any of the details of that? I mean, to know... what it's all about is what it's all about. I mean, those are, almost the godlike questions. Do you know any of the answers?
No, I don't. All I know is what I had access to the yellow book for about 5 minutes, and in 5 minutes I couldn't get much information out of it. But there's been others who have been on your program and who have written books about it, who were right on the money. And in fact, there's one person, I don't recall their name, they live, I think, in New Hampshire, Vermont or something, who was a former intelligence officer who claimed to have had access, and he gave a lecture somewhere some years ago about it, and he was right on the money as far as I know. But there's others out there that know a heck of a lot more about it than I do. What I didn't know, and what somebody told me, was about the different races of aliens.
And what do you know about that?
Well, I didn't know anything then. In fact, the person who told me was Linda Howell. She got that information from a high-level source within the CIA, and I verified it with some other people. I didn't even know it.
Boy, you are so full of information, Richard. I've got to ask this. I guess I did earlier, but I've got to ask again, Richard. You were a disinformation specialist. How in God's name am I supposed to understand I'm hearing the truth from you now?
Well, I don't. I would have no reason whatsoever. If I wanted to disinform you, Art, what I would do was try to convince you that the extraterrestrial visitation was baloney, that everything that you ever heard was wrong. I can't do that because it's not true. I wouldn't do it. I have no reason now, after all these years, to do it. I wasn't proud of what I did. I mean, I did a job. I'm not proud of what I did then. I really am not. I'm somewhat embarrassed at times about.
But
what
maybe
I did
you're before. Proud of what you're doing now.
Well,
I don't know.
I'm truthful now. I'm for it with Whitney. I mean, I'm open now, more so than I ever was in the past.
What do you think, Greg? Should he be believed now?
You know what? When people tell these facts or stories or whatever they are, you have to go and check other places, talk to other people, see who repeats these stories, how long the stories hold up. That's how you get through disinformation. You can't just listen to it and then accept it and then go off with it. You have to sit with it for many years sometimes to figure out something's true or not. A lot of the things that Rick is saying have been verified by other people. Now, you and I and probably most of the people listening have never seen, you know, an alien or never seen this book or the crystal that they talked about that people would look into, any of this stuff. So you have to suspend your disbelief up to the, you know, as far as to the edge as you want to, and think of it probably more as a mental exercise before it's proven unequivocally to you, like it has been to Whitley Strieber and maybe Bob Dean and other researchers like that.
All right.
It's a tricky thing.
Yeah, I'll say the whole thing is tricky. I want to take
if you want a yes or no answer, it just doesn't work usually.
A couple of calls. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with the group here.
Hi to everybody.
Hello.
I wanted to say I'm not debunking Roswell, but I wanted to talk to you about the Fox show, that special that they did, whatever it was, about 10 years ago or so.
Oh, that's a good subject, sure.
Okay, this is a real interesting observation, and it actually wasn't made by me. I have pretty poor eyesight, but it was made by a friend of mine, and then I watched it on tape and looked more carefully. Nobody, I don't think, has ever brought this up, and I'm real curious what you guys have to say about
that. You're talking about the autopsy, right?
Right, the alien autopsy. Right, right.
Okay.
Okay, I'm a big buff of old telephones. This sounds strange, but listen to this. This is very interesting. In that show, if you watch it, if any of you still have a tape or recording of it anywhere.
I do.
Watch that show, Art. You probably know this about old phones and things like that, being into ham radio. At that time, in 1947, they did not have coiled cords for the handset.
All right. I've been aware of this argument now for a long, long time. Richard, do you have anything you want to say about the alien autopsy? Do you have any knowledge of that?
I think it was a hoax. I didn't believe it.
You think it was a hoax?
Yeah, I don't know anything firsthand, though.
Why do you think it was a hoax, and who do you think put that film out or released it?
I don't know. I don't know. I watched that a number of times. In fact, I've watched it with a couple of people who are still within the government, or at least then was still in the government, the 70, whatever.
All right, so your information about it is not firsthand.
No,
you're just like the rest of us, unsure
exactly
about that question, right?
Right. I don't have any firsthand knowledge.
Yeah, good enough. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with the group. Hello.
Thank you, Mr. Bill. I appreciate the opportunity.
Sure, where are you?
I'm Scott, Orange County, California.
Okay. Greg and Richard are listening.
Okay, Richard, you know, I admire Mr. Bill and this radio format because he seeks the truth, okay? You, sir, are on the other side of the coin. You are a liar and a thief. You've stolen Paul's life and ruined it. You are a mindless, soulless drone. And as long as the government keeps employing these mindless, soulless drones, we will continue to have these conspiracies.
That was mindless, soulless drone, right?
Indeed. I got it all.
Mindless, soulless drone.
Okay. And what I did...
All right. Let's hold it there. Mindless, soulless drone is, I think, something you might want to respond to.
Well, I no longer work for the government. And
so you are no longer a mindless, soulless
drone. No, I'm no longer
drone.
A mindless. Maybe I was during that time, and maybe I was. you know, I probably... could be considered that then, but, you know, I'm no longer with the government now.
How about a nice big general question? How much damage do you think that official disinformation put out by people like you at that time has done to ufology?
Probably it did some harm, yeah, absolutely. And not so much of what I did, but there was some others. You're talking about small-level operations that I did, two that I told you about, two others that have never been disclosed.
Would you like to disclose them?
One of them was a total failure. I mean, total failure. And the other one, no one's ever written about it, and the group or
which one
involved.
Would that be?
Pardon?
Which one would that be?
I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to go into details.
Not going to tell
me. I would be open to Pandora's box.
Well, hey, we specialize in those kinds of boxes here. Perhaps you could, we're coming up on a break, so perhaps what you could do is sort of figure out if there's a way you could talk about it without naming specific names or something, some way of giving us an idea what was done.
Okay.
All right, good. I'm Art Bell.
A very old friend came by today, 'cause he was telling everyone in town of the love that he just found, and the reason of his latest friend. He talked and talked, him say that she had the longest, blackest hair, the prettiest green eyes anywhere, and the reason of his latest friend. Though I smiled with tears inside, were burning, I wished him luck, and then he said in the fire that he was gone, but still his words kept returning.
Talk with Art Bell. Call the Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
It's just not every morning that you walk into a hornet's nest like this. Good morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell, and this, well, how could you be listening and not know, is Coast to Coast AM. Once again, Richard Doty and Greg Bishop, and I've got a question from Philip in Hampton, Virginia, who asks, what was the crystal that he mentioned? Is it something in some way connected with Dan Burrish? And do you know anything about the Dan Burrish controversy at all, Richard? Or either one of you, really?
No, don't know about. I've heard that name. The crystal I knew was something that was presented on that UFO cover-up live as something that aliens had that they had shown to people in the Air Force, whoever was keeping them, keeping this alien there. And if you looked in it, you could see scenes from the past or the future of Earth's history. That's all they said about it.
That's quite a lot. All right, gentlemen, here comes some more inquiries. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Greg Bishop and Richard Doty. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
Hey, Richard and Greg.
Hello.
Thanks for taking my call, Art.
Sure.
This is William from Portland. Richard, I have a couple of questions, please, real quick. Since you have been privy to the inside track, did you learn what the aliens' agenda might be, and are we their genetic experiment?
No, I didn't know what the their agenda was, and I have no information regarding whether
okay.
we're studying our genetic makeup.
And I was just wondering what you thought of Dr. Greer and the Disclosure Project. Do you think he's got any chance of success of bringing this out with the hearings and the things he's done?
Yeah, there's a good question.
Excellent question. Absolutely. I hope and pray. I've spoken to a couple of representatives from Pennsylvania. Actually, Senator Spector a little while back and about it because he's a former OSI agent and he was non-committal, but he thought that something should push it forth. I agree that I support Dr. Greer's efforts.
Okay. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with The Group.
Hi, Art. Thanks for taking my call.
Where are you?
I'm in Pennsylvania, but I'm listening on WDEL.
Okay, in Delaware.
Who I would like to thank for carrying you on the weekend.
Yes, thank you.
Very grateful. I have a question for Richard. I'd like you, if you can, to confirm or deny something I had heard from a former Coast to Coast guest. I don't remember whether he was on with Art or George, and I don't remember his name, but somebody talking about the UFO phenomenon once said that he had received information that President John F. Kennedy, was assassinated because he was going to tell the public the truth about the ET. Is that true or not?
Okay, thank you.
I didn't get that first part.
Was President John F. Kennedy assassinated because of what he was going to tell the American public?
Well, I heard that story, but I have no first-hand knowledge about it. No, I don't know anything about that.
Okay. And I wouldn't expect you to. Had you actually come up with that answer, I would have immediately pounced upon you.
No.
So, Greg?
Yeah, there was a researcher called, I think it was Michael Karlinsky, uncovered this, and then Ken Thomas published this in Steam Shovel Press about some sort of pillow talk between JFK and Marilyn Monroe about him seeing aliens at Area 51 or somewhere out in the Southwest, and that's the reason, one, JFK was assassinated, and two, Marilyn Monroe appeared to be suicided, as it's the term is used in the business.
Suicide.
Nobody's been able to back that up. That's just one conspiracy rumor that's come out in the last 10 years.
I heard that. Ironic, a little sidelight here. I was stationed in Germany, and one of our things we did over there was counterespionage, and we were debriefing a former KGB agent, and one of the questions that was presented to him was about John F. Kennedy, and he said, well, you guys killed him because he was going to talk about the UFOs, and this came from a KGB agent.
I don't know. I'd have told Marilyn about UFOs. Yeah, baby, we got him. We got
him. Want to see one?
I probably would have too.
Well, geez. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, good evening, Art. Thanks for taking my call.
It is quite an evening, yes.
Yes, it is a keystone, if it's believable. I'm not really too knowledgeable in this area, but I've been paying real close attention. And Richard, Art specifically asked you about the film of Roswell, and you specifically answered that you saw Roswell, and then you backslid on that, and you've done that a couple of times. So
In what way did he backslide?
Well, he said no, he didn't really see Roswell. He saw information and things that were happening with regard on photographs of film.
All right, fine. Let's pin them down. How about it, Richard? You saw Roswell or you didn't see Roswell?
This is what I was trying to tell you. The film was a briefing film. It contained a number of items pertaining to ETV, extraterrestrial visitation. It showed a clip of the Roswell recovery, and the narrator was saying that this was from Roswell, New Mexico, 1947, the recovery operation. So I didn't see the whole entire film. I saw that clip on this briefing film.
But that was enough. In other words, you saw one of these creatures well enough to describe
it
to us a little while ago, right?
Yep. Well, that was the second. I mean, that part. I mean, they showed the recovery, and then it showed this creature at, well, I don't know where it was, either at some hidden facility in New Mexico or in Los Alamos, because he was at both locations. But it showed this creature, it filmed this creature, saying this is one that got out of the craft, that lived. So that was part of this briefing film.
All right. You're on the air with the Gathered Group. Hello and good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Where are you? You're going to have to speak up real loud. You're not too loud.
Good morning, gentlemen. Sorry, I got cancer in the throat, so I'm sorry.
I'm sorry to hear that. What's your first name?
My name is Mark.
And what question do you have, Mark?
It's not really a question. I have been seeing UFOs all my life, and I joined the Navy, and I actually seen one 134 feet away from my battleship.
Okay, but we're not taking UFO reports. How does this relate to...
relates because my commanding officer worked out at Roswell, and he says that he can confirm there was UFOs. But my question to you, what is the color? He was telling us they were green, and he said they were gray. What color was they?
All right. What color were they?
I didn't catch all that. Something about
the color of UFOs. I don't know. It was kind of...
I think he was trying to figure out what color the aliens were because his commanding officer in
the
Navy...
No, the craft themselves.
He were they?
About, he was talking about the craft. I don't know why. It was like it was a test or something.
Oh.
He was testing you, Richard.
Oh, okay.
To see if you had knowledge of what color these things were.
I can't... I don't... I couldn't understand his question, so...
What color were the UFOs?
The craft? Yes. You mean the alien craft?
Yes.
The metallic shape, but they were silvery colored. The ones that the one that I saw, they actually showed one at the end of the briefing tape, and that's the one that was involved in the Cash Landrum thing.
All right, this is of immense interest. If they showed it and it was real, then what did it look like?
Well, the outside of it looked—it wasn't a saucer shape. It was more like a bat wing shape. It had a cutout in the back where apparently the engine was, and it was a kind of bat-winged shaped, and it had a protrusion on top with a white, and it was a silvery, grayish-colored craft.
This was the one at Roswell you were talking about?
Yes.
All right. The Cash Landrum ship was something else, and when I talked to you, you said you thought that was, and what a lot of people thought was a test craft, a nuclear-powered test craft that somehow went off course. You know about this case, right, Art?
Yes.
Yes.
I want to add for you, Greg, that you do have a book, which is called Project Beta. And Project Beta is the story of what happened to Paul Benowitz.
Yes. In fact, most of the things we've been talking about tonight, except for a few exclusives from Richard here, are in the book. Probably about 90% of what we've been talking about are things that... Richard told me when we had our talks when I was writing the book.
Yeah, I've got a feeling we heard quite a few new things this morning.
At least a couple.
Yeah, at least a couple. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with the group. Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, sir. Where are you?
I'm Tom from New York.
All right, Tom. A question?
Well, kind of not a question, more of a comment. I think the problem is that with people like Greg and anyone else who is searching for something in life, sometimes the obvious is just the obvious, whether there be aliens or not aliens, whether it be technology or whatever it's coming from. And I think that when you so badly want to believe something, that sometimes you want to believe disinformation or believe the obvious facts.
Absolutely.
And I think that's the problem sometimes. Whether there be aliens or not, it's just you have to be open-minded and be willing to accept and be able to tell the truth from not the truth.
That's why disinformation works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does work, doesn't it? Very well.
Yeah. Well, that's the point I was trying to make in the book, and people have said, you know, does this mean that the UFOs are completely a product of everything we know is completely a product of the government?
Well, see, here's one problem.
Never said any such thing.
Yeah, but here's the problem, Greg, and Richard too, for that matter. If you're in a courtroom and you're being accused of something by somebody, and your lawyer is really good and proves that one of the witnesses against you is a damn liar, then even though what they lied about has nothing to do with, you know, necessarily what you've done or accused of, even if it's true, it's discarded by the jury. Once a liar, never trust it again, ever.
Exactly. But this is not a court, and disinformation works in ways that do not, that are not suited for our system of justice.
You know, let me say something about this. One of the things we did in the disinformation area was in counterespionage, where we recruited a person and we sent that person into a Soviet agent, and we controlled him and we fed him disinformation. We fed that our guy phony information to give to the Soviets.
Yeah, well,
so now the Soviets. Now everybody's going to say, well, that's good in disinformation. That's great, right. Disinformation.
That's right. When it involves people like Linda Moulton Howe and I guess Paul Benowitz and a lot of other people that have been fed, American citizens that have been fed this disinformation,
yeah,
it doesn't
wrong.
Go down as well.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I wasn't proud, like I said, I wasn't proud of doing it.
On the other hand, everybody understands the need for national security, and it may be that the need is just as great here as it is in giving the Soviet Union disinformation. I'm just telling you how things go down, PR-wise. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Greg Bishop, Richard Doty.
Hello.
And Art Bell.
Hi, my name is Tom.
Yes, Tom.
I live in northwest New Jersey.
Okay.
And in 1981, I did hold a top secret clearance. And I just wanted to tell you that some of the things that he is saying is true.
Yeah, I mean, you're not the first person to call me either publicly here or privately and say what you're hearing is true.
Yes, I just want to let you know that some of the things that he is saying is true.
Okay, all right. As I mentioned, Ed Dames called. Richard said the same thing.
Yeah, I know it. I know
that these things are done, these lies are dispensed, and it's in the name of real, honest to God, national security projects.
Yeah, well, I pointed this out in the book, that there were assets in Russia who were sending this information back. And if they found out that somebody over here was getting that information and using it on these satellites through Paul Benowitz or anybody else, these people would have been, you know, imprisoned or killed or whatever. And they figured, I think Richard can comment on this, that they figured that the one person getting paranoid and going off the deep end was worth, you know, 10 or 12 or 15 or however many agents they had over in Russia doing this, you know, apart from the fact of just the basic information.
Exactly. And you know, another thing that we as an open society have to be very careful of is what people does with the information. If we allow somebody to have information that is of a sensitive nature, there's no protection there's no guarantee that they're not going to give that to the Soviets or the East Germans or the Chinese. I mean, so we have to be careful, and that's the main basis for counterintelligence, is protect our secrets.
Well, out of curiosity, Richard, you've told us a lot about what the U.S. government knows. What do you know about what the Russians or the Chinese or the Brits or anybody else knows that we don't?
I know officially that the Soviet Union had a very, very extensive program in investigating UFO sightings within their borders, and also intelligence operation targeting certain people in the United States to obtain information that we had. One of the interesting points, we ran counter-espionage operations in Europe. We sent our spies in and let them think, let the Soviets think that these guys were theirs, but actually were ours. Almost every one of our spies would come back and say, hey, this guy wants to know about what I know about UFOs or what we have about UFOs. I mean, they would target our people and ask questions, and that was something that was that showed us they still had a lot of interest. And this was in the 80s, mid 80s.
All right. Hi there. West of the Rockies. We're going to squeeze you in with Greg Bishop and Richard Doty. Hi.
All righty. My name's Michael. I'm in Seattle.
Hi, Michael.
And I'd like to ask about Philip Corso and what he might know, a verification of what he wrote about, and
wonderful.
Or was there any information more he can add to that? Did he know him, or was he involved in any of his work, or anybody that he knew was involved in his work?
Excellent question. I interviewed Phil Corso many times. Richard, do you know anything about Philip Corso?
Yeah, I had a very interesting chat with Phil on two occasions. One in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and one in Washington, D.C., where we spoke quite openly, and he filled me in a lot of things that I never knew, because, of course, he was around in the early days. And he verified a lot of things personally between him and I that I'm saying tonight about Roswell. Now, I didn't know about the crates and some of these things that he knew about, but,
so
again, I wasn't around then.
So Phil Corso was not in your line of work?
No. No, no, he was not in my line of work. No.
You,
it's funny, I've always wondered about Phil.
Well, so have I, but he told an extremely detailed, very convincing story.
And he seemed very sincere.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
But then again,
yes,
somebody
exactly.
who's would have to be good at what they do. So it's a question that I guess had to be asked. But you're saying, Richard, that he was a real McCoy.
Yeah, he was a real McCoy.
Mm-hmm. All right. We're about to have to end this program, so I need to ask you if there's anything else that you've been holding back. I mean, there was that operation, for example, you were going to tell us a little bit
about. I was
going to
tell you that. Basically, one of the operations that was successful involved airlines in Nevada that flew people to a certain location.
Oh?
From one place to another.
I know
about
that.
It was an operation.
Yes?
And the second one was the Cash Landrum, which was
I know. Wait a minute. I know about that. Airline operation.
Oh, you do?
Yes,
okay.
I do. But I don't know what you did with regard to them.
Well, I'm not going to go into details on this. it's kind of a long grind. I couldn't do it within a minute. So, but anyways, you know about it because somebody else mentioned it on one of your programs.
All right, Richard Doty, thank you very, very much for being with us tonight. It was a shock and a surprise brought to me by Greg Bishop. Greg, thank you, and your book is on sale where?
At Amazon.com and at just about any bookstore you'd care to go to. Project Beta is the title.
Project Beta. Gentlemen, thank you and good night.
Good night, Art.
Later.
Good night, Art.
All right. Whew. This has been some weekend, hasn't it? Crystal's got the right words. Good night, all.
Midnight in the desert, shooting stars across the sky. Magical journey will take us on a ride, filled with the longing, searching for the truth. Will we make it to tomorrow? Will the sun shine on you? Midnight in the desert.